Did you know that if you cut down a cactus in Arizona, you could probably go to jail? We've got all sorts of fun facts and more coming up.
We got lots of info. Let's rock and roll. It's Did You Know with Rhino.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Rhino. In case you didn't know, I'm Rhino. This is my show, and I know exactly what you're thinking. 25 years for cutting down a cactus? I wonder what happens if we cut down a banana tree. In today's episode, we're going to have lots of fun, and you might even learn something. Because here at Did You Know with Rhino, we talk about pop culture, we go over random facts, information, and we learn stuff along the way. We could talk about sociology, we could talk about astrology, we could even say G-O-G if we'd like to. And that's all sorts of the fun things that happen here on Did You Know with Rhino. And this episode, I have a special guest. We haven't heard from him in a while, but it's now time to talk to one of the craziest dudes I know. A great friend of mine, ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Thonin. Hello, sir. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I am trying to keep myself entertained.
So it's difficult with ADHD. I get that.
Yeah, I almost did a podcast with a stuffed animal earlier today.
I saw. Yeah, that was it would have been an interesting guest.
Yep. I think what I would have done, though, if I were to do a podcast with something that's inanimate, is I would have given them a voice and had them speak through them. Yeah.
Wow.
It would have been that weird.
No, it could have been a good one. I mean, you could get a lot of stuff out.
Yeah, it could have been like my own therapy session.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you got to work a few personal things out.
Like Ryan, how do you, let me do his voice. Ryan, how do you feel today? I feel quite fine. Are you really sure? Are you just saying that you feel fine today? No, I'm feeling quite fine, actually. Really? All right, yep. Yeah.
I'm filled with holistic rage.
So, I know you work from home, but when you're not trying to help people improve their lives, what have you been doing to enjoy yourself?
Recently, we kidnapped a friend of ours that was a part of everyone that was furloughed from Disney and brought him to our house in the middle of the night. So he's been staying with us, and together we built a planter for my wife. Quite oversized. I didn't really visualize the grand scale of the plans that we downloaded, but I think an 8-foot by 4-foot planter is plenty of space for her to work with for the next 3 years.
How many plants could you technically fit inside that? Like, let's assume that that plants are like typical household plants. They'd only get like 2 feet tall.
Well, it really depends. I mean, she's going for like herbs and a couple vegetables, so she has to go by a per foot basis around each plant. So if you're doing it that way, not really many, especially if you're doing like tomatoes and cucumbers and mint and things like that. You got to keep them a little separated, or you're going to have some minty tomatoes, or some minty cucumbers.
That reminds me of an episode of the Simpsons where Homer ended up becoming a farmer and nothing grew on his land except for, yes, tobacco, which was tomatoes, but inside was tobacco.
Tobacco.
Cows with red eyes hooking for a fix. So minty tomatoes, that could be a name of an album.
Right?
Like if we had a rock band, like our first single would be Minty Tomatoes.
Or if we wanted to come out with a country album, we can call it Minty Maters.
Minty Maters. That's great. So you've been building all sorts of fun things, mostly planters. So in doing so, where'd you get the designs from?
Just kind of Googled them. I honestly could not tell you the exact source at this exact moment.
No, that's fine. So you had an idea in mind of what you wanted? What inspired this this creation?
Enough begging from my wife to build a planter. And so finally I broke down and started searching for actually drawn out plans, because I didn't want to spend too much time having to actually do the math of the actual size of a 2x4 or a 1x6 and breaking that down into the cuts that I would needed. I wanted someone else to do that for me.
Sure. So did you end up cutting them yourself?
Yeah, we actually rented a miter saw and a table saw from Home Depot and had a little afternoon fun.
Okay. And you sanded it down and whatnot so that no one died?
We did not sand it.
Okay.
But they were pretty clean cuts. The cuts themselves are actually in areas where you wouldn't have to worry about your hands.
Good. Because those are some things that I always forget to think about until like the very end, where I'm like, should I have sanded this? Or what is sanding? Like, is it a metaphorical thing? That sort of nonsense. So that's normally what comes up into my head. So like the last thing, I don't even remember the last thing I built. I know the last thing I cooked, like I had a new recipe today, but the last thing I put together is this desk that I'm currently at.
There you go. IKEA or?
It was like Wayfair.
Okay. They got just what you need.
Or Overstock, one of the two. they're kind of the same thing. Yeah, and so I did that, and I had to put slot A into figure B using screw 23J or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think probably 80 to 90% of my house is IKEA, so I know exactly what that's like.
But with IKEA, you at least get fun words like put the Herbenflork next to the Flurbyjerp.
Well, you know what I learned recently is actually like most of the words of the products and things like that, they're actually like based on specific things around your house. And if you learn just a few words, you can understand exactly what each product does and where it's supposed to go and find your way around. It's pretty cool.
So instead of it sounding like Klingon with the umblak and the zhukau,
There's actually meaning behind it.
That's ridiculous. So when something is named, so it might translate to blue cactus or something,
right?
And it goes outside like it is a planter.
I'll have to find the video, but it's a pretty interesting one.
Sweet. So besides creating things, have you guys been playing board games and whatnot lately?
Yes, we've been playing the Disney Villains game.
Disney Villains.
We finally learned how to play it.
Is that where you have to like defeat the Disney villains, or you're trying to be one and increase your strength?
You play as the Disney villain, but each person plays their own villain, and they're each within their own realm. And so you have a goal for your villain in order to achieve, you know, in order to finish the game, in order to win. And then you have other players that are also their own villains who can have turns to play cards against you using like your deck and things like that in order to slow down your progress or to completely backtrack it. But there's also some where you actually have to play cards against people in order to help them, which is weird. But it's a pretty fun game once you get the hang of it. It took us a while.
Nice. So you'd recommend it for... to whom would you recommend this particular game?
Nerds that like villains and don't like heroes.
So like people like over the age of 13?
Yes.
Okay.
Like I'm a big Maleficent fan, as you know, and so that's my girl. That's who I play almost every time if I'm not going to work with the Queen of Hearts.
I would enjoy Captain Hook because he's kind of awesome.
That's a character.
Nice. So we asked people online. This is our lovely segment known as Ryan O and the Mailbox of Doom, where we try to open up the mailbox, learn something, and not get hit by a boulder. So on Facebook, I asked people a long time ago what their favorite board game is. So I'm going to tell you some of their responses, and let's see if you've played them or not. The first one on here, someone played Disney Villains. They finally got down to Disney Villains, just like you were saying. let's see. Pandemic. I've never played Pandemic.
I have not. I mean, I feel like we're all kind of playing that game right now.
Why play the game when you're living it?
Right? Mm-hmm. It's a little morbid to want to play it even further. I mean, you get a little deep.
See, we got the Betrayal on the House on the Hill, whatever that is.
Ooh.
That just sounds dark.
It does.
Clue.
Okay. Yep. Definitely killed them in the library with the candlestick.
Was it Professor Peacock or no? That's Mrs. Peacock. Professor Plum.
Professor Plum.
Colonel Mustard, I think, is another one.
Which is a nickname for mustard gas. real fun one. You know, it's kind of like mustard gas killed someone with something else.
That's like overkill.
Right, but I digress.
We also have Catan. I've heard good things, but never played.
I've played it a couple times. I don't remember exactly what it's about right now. It's been a while, but I did have fun the last time I played it.
Right on. We also got Dominion. Never played that one.
Mm-mm.
Monopoly. That's how like most relationships end.
Yeah, I feel like on a quarantine, that's a really bad game to play.
Because you can't just walk away once you're done.
You can't just throw the table and leave.
Yeah, it's like, where are you going to leave to? The other side of the room?
Damn it, Grandma.
We also got a Secret Hitler. I've played that one.
Yeah, we're wanting to play that one.
Let's see, I saw like a bunch of repeats here. Azul. I don't know what that is. Seven Wonders.
Okay.
Pictionary.
All right. It's a good one.
Cards Against Humanity. We've all played Cards Against Humanity.
Of course. Yeah, we've all played that with our families.
Yahtzee.
Okay.
Yep. I've been playing lots of Yahtzee lately.
We actually just downloaded a couple Jack's games.
The Jackbox party packs?
Yeah, we got a Jackbox, and so we did a Zoom call with our family where we shared my computer screen, and then we all played on our phones.
Of course.
It was pretty enjoyable.
One of my, like the drawful ones are fun, where it asks you to, it's basically Pictionary, and it has you create whatever the prompt is, and people have to guess it. Or once they create what they think the title is, if people guess the title and it's correct, they get points. But if people guess the title and it's incorrect, the person who created that title gets points.
Hmm.
So I love Drawful. We
did that one in ours.
Which one did you end up getting?
We got number 3.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember what's in that one.
That's fine. We can look this up together. Jackbox Party Pack 3.
It is. Quiplash 2 Trivia Murder Party. That was our favorite.
Oh, of course. That's one of Rachel's favorites. Party. Faking
we
did it.
Spionage between the three of us at the house. We haven't tried TKO. We did faking it between the three of us at the house, considering, you know, you can't exactly do that on a video call.
No, because it's all about people's images or actions or something.
Exactly. I did pretty good at that one. It was a little sad, but in the end, we were tied.
Nice. Well, one of my favorites is the Party Pack 4. So Party Pack 4 has Fibbage 3. So Fibbage is very similar to Drawful, but it's just with words. So they'll tell you a prompt like in 1999, Prince once went to the Dalai Lama and made him order blank. And so your job is to create the blank. So like, let's say your answer is like 100 turtles, or and then someone else's answer is 17 Jeep Wranglers, and someone else's answer is 150 pizzas. And so the
vowel.
What's that?
I would have said a vowel given his actual name.
There you go. And so then the actual answer would be like 7 gold necklaces. And a stripper. So that's the actual answer. But your job is to try to get people to guess your answer, because then you get points.
Okay.
So there's that one. Fibbage 3. There's also Civic Doodle, where you have to draw the prompts. Bracketeering is where you go like head to head in like a March Madness style on like what people would think is better. So whether like you choose what's the best food ever, and you put down ice cream, and someone puts down pizza, and then everyone else in the room has to choose either ice cream or pizza, and then that goes on to the next winner. Yep.
Okay.
So that's bracketeering. Then it's got Survive the Internet, which is okay, and then Monster Seeking Monster. I think that the Jackbox games normally have like 2 or 3 in the pack that are great, and then the rest are just kind of like, meh.
Right, yeah, I feel like Monster Seeking Monster would be a really interesting one to play with mom and dad.
It's kind of like the dating game.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it'd be really... It's intense because I didn't really enjoy it that much because of how complicated it got. But if you've got nothing to do, go for it. So are you going to be doing more of those with the Familia?
Yeah, we might actually download another pack. I think we've got a discount right now.
Nice. I recommend 4.
Okay.
Party Pack 4 is one of my favorites because just Fibbage 3, it's brilliant and amazing.
It looks like they're all on sale right now.
Probably, because that's how you make a lot of money right now. Let's see, I'm going to their website right now. And yes, everything looks like it's like 30 to 40% off.
So yeah, shameless plug for Jackbox Games.
They should be an unofficial sponsor. And by that, I mean, give me money.
Right, let's tweet it, Jack.
Yo, give me money. I'm actually going to tweet that right now at Jackbox. No, there you go. Jackbox Games. I have a podcast, and we are currently talking about the party packs. Just thought you should know. And tweet.
I can't wait to like this one.
So speaking of things that people liked, a lot of people liked Jenga as an answer to the what's your favorite board game? Going back to the board game question.
Jenga.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause, you know, I've seen that's now a big thing that people do at like bars and breweries.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some big ones.
Where they're like 6 feet tall.
Yeah. Is dangerous when you're drunk,
or is it extra fun when you're drunk? We also got a Scrabble. I like Scrabble.
Yeah,
but Scrabble makes me feel like an idiot sometimes because I don't know all the good words.
I'm surprised nobody said Ticket to Ride yet.
We also got Sorry, Candyland, Dixit, Ticket to Ride.
There we go.
Payday, and Sequence.
Hmm.
I love Sequence.
Some people went pretty far back in their eclectic collection.
Yeah, but also the demographic I got is people between the age of 20 and 85, all the way across the country.
Wow.
So a lot of those could be from anywhere. So speaking of board games, which one is your favorite?
Favorite board game. That's a really good question. I don't think I have a favorite board game. I like challenges, so it's really fun to have something where problem solving and being able to think about multiple things, you know, in order to win. Just problem solving games, I guess, to put it shorter. And in elementary school, I think for like 2 semesters, I had a game of Monopoly going with a friend, like after school. I'd hang out for like an hour, and then we'd slowly play this game, and it went on for 2 semesters, and finally we had a winner. But I think that was like my favorite year of school, was every day going over and getting a little more into this Monopoly game.
So have you dabbled into like specific video games that are similar to this, or?
No, I think Jackbox was my first video game download in a very long time.
So when was the last time that you actually like sat down and played a video game besides the Party Pack?
Probably 2015 or 2016, when we were living in Claremont, well before I was married. Well, 2 years before I was married. Playing Flight Simulator at my desk in my office, all alone.
That sounds like a lot of problem solving as a flight simulator.
Very, very much problem solving at the beginning and the end, not the middle part.
The middle part is just keeping it straight or not.
It's just pushing a button.
So then what about video games before that? Like anything else strike your fancy? Like when you were younger.
Crash Bandicoot on PlayStation 2.
Sure. A lot of running and jumping and spinning.
Yeah. And then Frogger. That was a good one on the original PlayStation. GoldenEye on the N64.
Of course. Gotta love GoldenEye.
Yeah. I still have some of those theme songs stuck in my head.
Well, GoldenEye is a little bit different as like music. So it's just like doom, 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 doom. That's the music to GoldenEye.
It is pretty good for pretty great music for being what, 8-bit? Was it 8-bit?
64-bit.
64-bit? Okay. It's still not bad.
Because it was the Nintendo 64. It was a cool thing. 8-bits were ridiculous because 8-bits, I think, were like more like Nintendo.
Yeah.
Then you had like the 16-bits, which were more like Sega.
You know, what's weird to think about is that Nintendo games these days, like the Switch, their music sounds like they're going back. They're going backwards, back towards like 8-bit music. It's going simple again.
And I think that's because of people's nostalgia and how easier it is to make MIDI sounds versus like looping is super easy and lazy.
Yes.
As someone who's dabbled in looping myself, being able to just go like, okay, cool, here's your drum beat. Awesome. Here's this little doot, 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 doot. Okay, cool. You're done with that. Add on a underneath. Okay, cool. And then randomly mix it up in the middle with, and you have a song.
We'll have to play this back later, this audio, and see what kind of music you just made, like just a few second track that was.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. Because that's kind of how my ending song for the podcast came about. Because I know the melody that I wanted, which was the "Did You Know" with Ryan O. I knew that's what I wanted to be like, dun 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 dun. And then I decided to add in more and more harmonies on top of each other, which is also my process for creating my old YouTube theme song.
Your version or the Joey Huber version?
My version.
Okay.
Well, my version was trying to make it sound like the Mickey Mouse theme song, but different, so to not copyright anything and not get sued. Because that's a dun, 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 dun.
I think my favorite track of yours is the chaos bit.
Oh, sure. Which is just a lot of me going, chaos, 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 chaos. Rhino and his chaos. That's it. So we'll talk about more chaos and all sorts of randomness coming up in just a moment after a word from our sponsor.
Did you know with Rhino?
While you're listening to this ad, I'd like you to look down. Now look back up. Are you wearing an awesome shirt that says Team Rhino? Or a shirt with a duck with a cup spilled over that says Party Foul? Are you also wearing a really cool button that says Did You Know with Rhino? Or a hat that says Team Rhino? Or I Know Rhino? Well, if you're not doing any of those things, you should be. And you can do so by going to Zazzle.com/store/DidYouKnowWithRhyanO. That's right, folks. I have my own merchandise shop, and you can buy all sorts of amazing awesomeness pertaining to this podcast and show your love by once again going to Zazzle.com/store/DidYouKnowWithRhyanO. Wear it, share it, love it. And now back to our show.
Did You Know With RhyanO?
So we talked about old video games that you were playing, but what sort of like movies and TV shows do you remember as a kid? Like, what were your favorite shows growing up?
I remember Rocket Power. That was a fun one. And then realizing later after watching a few clips and understanding that those innuendos were a little more adult than we imagined.
They always were, especially like some of the old Looney Tunes stuff.
Oh God. There are just so many things that when you think back on your youth and the shows you watched, you wonder why your parents actually let you continue watching them.
Yeah. Well, because they were funny and they added something to, like quick in entertainment and enjoyment. And innuendos, but kids don't know about that stuff.
No, and it's fun kind of seeing kids later on and being like, yeah, that's what that actually meant. What?
No, that's kind of why I like rewatching Phineas and Ferb. I think Phineas and Ferb are kind of, they're kind of the modern Looney Tunes, but they have their ongoing Easter eggs that kind of continue throughout different episodes if you pay attention. Like there's one episode where they form a band and they have a one-hit wonder. And then after that, their song ends up being just like an elevator tune. And so like 12 episodes later, they're in an elevator and their song's playing in that elevator. It's stuff like that. Like if you're in for the long haul, I love it. Little Easter eggs here and there. That makes me happy. Or there's one where there's a giant baby head, like there's like a giant floating baby head. And it's just randomly in the background of like 30 episodes. You don't know it until you know it. And then once you see it, you can never unsee it.
All right. I may have to catch up on some Phineas and Ferb.
It's difficult because like they released it out of order. But just like the Clone Wars, they released it out of order. So then the order that you should watch it in is not the order that they deliver it. And that kind of frustrates me. I don't like that.
All right. I'll have to work with that.
So then what was your like favorite music growing up? What'd you listen to as a youngster?
Shamelessly, it would be Hanson.
Okay. So you bopped it up?
Bopped it up.
Nice.
Yeah, I used to visit some family friends, and I think they were living in Mississippi at the time. And we would jam out to Hanson while we watched the Gators playing, or well, not the Florida Gators, but actual gators in the water.
Oh, sure. There's a big difference between actual gators and the Florida Gators.
Right. I felt like I should probably break it down there.
So was that your first CD that you ever bought? Was it Hanson?
I think so. And it was their, the orange disc. I remember exactly what it looks like. I could probably describe it a little bit. I don't remember the name of the album.
It's cool. The name of the album was Middle of Nowhere.
There we go.
It came out in 1997.
Yep, that's the one.
And on that CD, going back into it, Middle of Nowhere, it had Where is the Love, I Will Come to You, Weird, Thinking of You, and Mbop.
Did you know that Mbop is actually someone else's song? It's not even a Hanson original.
That sort of thing kind of does happen often. Who originally sung that one?
Let me do a quick search. I just remember how amazed I was learning that Mbop was not actually a Hanson song.
Because here it says it was written by the Hansons. And then reworked as an upbeat pop track by the hip producers The Dust Brothers. Yep.
I'll have to do some research. There was a video that came out a few years back that I saw, and it might have just been because it was The Dust Brothers.
And it was inspired by the Beach Boys.
I can get that feel. That's a few of their songs.
Yeah. Well, speaking of inspiration, looks like it's time for us to go into our trivia section of our episode, starting with our word of the day. I know this is going to be one of the most frightening parts of the episode. So normally what happens here, Brandon, as you're aware, I tell you the word, and I like you to tell me what it means and possibly where it comes from. Are you ready for this?
I am ready.
Okay. The word is disabuse, or disabuse, I should say.
Disabuse?
Mm-hmm. D-I-S-A-B-U-S-E. Disabuse.
I mean, it's got to be like the opposite of abuse.
Okay.
So probably... Ooh. I mean, but of course, what's the opposite of abuse? Abuses can be in many different forms.
I have the answer right in front of me. Otherwise, I'd give you a help.
Sure you do. Wow. The opposite. I'm trying to think of what could be the opposite of abuse. I mean, probably...
This podcast is the opposite of abuse.
Right? Probably closer to an apology.
Okay.
Like.
You're super close.
Let's see. What happens after like an argument? I mean, you apologize.
So you're saying it's kind of like an actionable apology?
I feel like it's got to be like, yeah.
Which it's is.
Like post-abuse or like post-argument.
So the actual definition is to free from error, misconception, or fallacy. To like. To fix things.
Yeah!
That's right. And it comes from French.
Okay.
Yes, because of the dis, adding two things, is originally a French prefix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
And but in English, the statement in the 1600s, that they can give like a good example, you are... much abused if you think your virtue can withstand the king's power. So you can just add disabuse to undeceive.
Okay.
Disabuse. Pretty simple. And that's our word of the week. So it's time to talk about some science.
Yeah.
Did you learn anything cool about science this week?
No.
That's cool. I did. When an octopus is born, so baby octopi, how big do you think they are?
They're probably microscopic.
They are. They're about the size of a flea when they're born.
Wow.
Yes, and it's because when they're born, like eggs are laid by the tens of thousands. So it's really easy to not notice that there's like a whole bunch of them in the sea. So next time you're going swimming, you might find some on your leg.
I'd be okay with an octopi attached to me.
With some octopi?
Some octopi, yeah.
Or a octopus?
They can come with me.
Right on. So you can take some home?
As long as they're not octopussy.
Well,
if we want to talk James Bond.
Well, yeah, because then you're some spoiled rich girl who gets in too deep and Bond has to save you. It's a rough one. Very rough movie. Well, speaking of rough things, but they're also interesting and fantastic, in about 25 years ago, fun story, 25 years ago, a cargo ship traveling from Hong Kong to the United States accidentally lost a shipping crate in the Pacific Ocean. What do you think was inside that very particular shipping crate? Something that's very random and crazy.
Given the current times, I would say toilet paper.
Well, 25 years ago.
25 years ago.
What's the silliest thing you could think of that would be inside a crate?
Coming from Japan?
Yep. Hong Kong.
Okay. Maybe Game Boys?
It's actually much sillier because inside that crate were 28,000 rubber ducks.
Aww.
And they were about to embark on long journeys across the globe. But that ship, that crate got lost in the ocean, and rubber ducks continued to pop up on shores from Australia to Alaska.
Wow. I can only imagine how many, if they were to all pop up in one, population on the water, how much that would look like. Because we've got a box of 200 just for fun.
In your house?
In our house, yeah. Okay. We've got a box of 200. So I can only imagine the duck army that you would see in the ocean.
Like a duck armada, like floating to take you away. Like if you're like in Antarctica or something.
Right.
They said that like some have made it all the way into the Atlantic Ocean and others have been found frozen in the Arctic ice.
Could you imagine one like just making its way through the Panama Canal?
And then it ends up all the way over to Siesta Key, which is, for those of you who are listening, it's on the west coast of Florida. So it ends up at Siesta Key in some 70-year-old who's been bronzing her entire day away. She gets hit by this rubber duck because a wave brings it in. And she takes it home and she names it Larry.
What the value duck would be for if you could track down that it actually came from that crate, what the value would be?
I don't know.
It's got a small niche crowd that would pay quite a bit of money for one of them.
For a 25, almost 30-year-old rubber duck?
Yeah. I mean, you got to think, people still look for treasures from, sunken ships and things like that. This is a sunken crate filled with rubber ducks.
Yeah, but the crate's probably empty and the ducks have already disappeared from the crate. Unless you can find that specific one and spray. Well, how would you tag it? So what would be the best way to graffiti an underwater metal, tank?
Probably weld.
Okay. So you weld onto it a giant duck image on this crate that's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
I'm down.
Okay.
Challenge accepted.
So do we leave it there or do we take it into a museum?
I think it becomes a museum itself. It's for those brave enough to find it.
So you have to like leave a geotag or something and hide it, and then people have to go down there and take an image of it, like a selfie underwater?
I can only imagine where it actually is and how deep it actually is.
Because it is the Pacific.
Right.
Wow. Okay. So let's do a little bit of digging right now. Like, where did the rubber duck crate come or disappear to? Let's find out. Well, here it says Hong Kong. I still don't. I don't see it, but I want to know a map of where it's at. Some are found in Hawaii, Alaska, South America, Australia. Some are even in Scotland and Newfoundland.
Hmm.
Oh, here we go. The charismatic duckies have been christened with the name, the Friendly Floaties. And they have devoted followers who have tracked their progress over the years.
Looks like there's actually a book about them called Moby Duck.
Nice. Oh, I found an image. Okay, so this image looks like it's like northwest of Hawaii. By, let's say, thousand miles?
Hmm.
Yep, thousand.
Yeah, I'm sure it's pretty deep there.
Yeah, so if someone manages to get down there and take a geotagged photo and whatnot of it, that would be amazing and a half. We just learned about something cool. So if you were to find a duck, once again, if you were to find a duck in the Gulf of Mexico, a rubber duck, what would you name it?
The Gulf of Mexico, rubber duck. It'd have to be a pirate name, given it's the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay.
I don't know. Let's look up duck pirate names and see. Wow, there are over 250.
Okay, go ahead and name some off. What you got?
Pirate.
Pirate duck names. I just got some cute duck names.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good pirate duck name.
So like here, just on this random list based on ranker.com, I'm just going to here we go. The top 10 list, number 10, Sirius Quack. Number 9, Daffy. Number 8, Cheese and Quackers. Number 7, Puddles. Number 6, Duck Norris. I've got one for you. Number 5, Quack Sparrow.
Wow, there we go. Sparrow it is.
Number 4, James Pond.
Wow.
Number 3, Fire Quacker. Number 2, Waddles. And number 1, Quacky Chan. Those are all ridiculous. That one might be fitting because it's from Hong Kong.
Yeah.
A little bit of random random ducks. Well, speaking of random, now it's time for us to go into the random trivia generator, where I'm going to spit some information at you, and you try to answer as quickly as you can. Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Okay. What happens when Pinocchio tells a lie?
His nose gets longer.
Correct. What year did Jimmy Carter assume office as the 39th president?
Wow. 39th president. Yep. I'm going to say 19. Ooh, was he after or before Nixon? Crap.
After.
After? 1972?
77.
Okay.
What country shares land border with Somalia?
I mean, it's on Africa.
Well, Africa is a continent.
Okay.
So what country shares land borders with Somalia?
I could not name a one.
Okay. We got Ethiopia, Djibouti, or Kenya. What were the first satellites to visit Venus, Mars, and Mercury?
Voyager?
Mariner.
Ah!
Who played the role of Jack Donahue on 30 Rock? Or is it Donahue?
And I know this one. Like, I just can't come up with his name.
He's got a lot of brothers. He's also in Beetlejuice. Had a tantrum on a plane.
Tantrum on a plane, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to pass.
That's Alec Baldwin.
Ah.
And then, finally, what Broadway musical featured the song Kansas City?
Was it Kansas City?
Kansas City, the music, the Broadway musical?
Is that even a musical?
Everything's up to date in Kansas City. Dun, 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 dun.
Nope.
The name of a musical is the name of a state.
Oklahoma?
Correct.
Okay.
And that is our random trivia generator. Thanks to randomtriviageneratorcom. Yeah, man. Pretty fun, right?
Yeah.
So what else do you have going on?
Not much.
Anything that you're working on online? Any cool photos that you've taken recently?
No, okay. I have not taken any cool photos from my home recently.
Sweet. Good times.
May soon. There is finally a commercial manned space flight that's launching from U.S. soil. In just a few days.
Nice. That's going to be awesome.
Take it out to photograph that. And then I can say, yes, I do have a cool photo.
So where can people currently see your photos of rockets and whatnot? Are they
my Flickr.
On your Flickr?
Yes.
Which is Flikr, I think?
Ckr.
Okay. So it's Flickr without an E.
Yeah. I just got to remember Flickr. Wow. It's been a while since I've been in here.
Well, I'm typing in your name, seeing what I can find out.
I think it's flickr.com/brandzonin.
Yes. Yes, it is. Oh, it's flickr.com/photos/bthonin, which is THONEN.
And I got a better idea. We can do hyperfin.com, and I can have that forward to that Flickr.
Okay. Hyperfin.com. That's HIPERFIN.com. Sweet.
Let's see here. Yeah.
Very cool. So that leads us closer towards the end of our episode, my friend. We've talked about all sorts of cool things about board games. We talked about video games, some music, movies. We talked about rubber ducks, octopi. We even talked about the random trivia generator. So that means you and I have to come up with a question of the episode. So Brandon, what should our question of the episode be? Based
what
on
have
the
you
things
done
we talk
for
about. What's your question?
What have you done for me lately?
What have you done for me lately? Doon, 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 doon. Ooh, yeah. So you want me to ask people what their favorite Janet Jackson song is? Or is that Paula Abdul? I think it's Paula Abdul. Doon, 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 doon. What have you done for me? That's actually Janet Jackson.
Sweet.
So, do you want me to ask them what their favorite Janet Jackson song is?
Yes.
Okay. I will ask them, what is your favorite Janet Jackson song? All right. That's going to show up on Facebook. So where else can people find you, Brandon, if they want to get a hold of you? Is it thehyperfin.com?
My Twitter's a good one. I'm always on there. I'm barely on Instagram.
So that's Twitter. That's at Hyperfin. That's Hyperfin with an I, not a Y. Yep, one fin in the air. Nice.
One fin.
All
right. Thanks, Chris.
That's what happens here. All righty. Well, if you want to answer that question of what is your favorite Janet Jackson song, you can always do that and answer any questions, comments, or concerns by chatting with us on Facebook, Did You Know with Ryan O. You can check us out on Twitter at Did You Know Ryan O. Or email us, Did You Know Ryan O. at gmail.com. Thank you once again for joining us on this epic journey, Brandon.
I'm happy to be here.
And for those of us here, to those of you out there, we hope you enjoyed yourselves. We know that we most certainly do. We always recommend that you find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I've been Ryan O, and we'll see you next time.